Wow, what a legacy that Pastor Tom has left behind. You look at those pictures, you look at what's been said, just we appreciate Miss Alice being a part. Some of you guys have been around for decades. And, you know, you say, why are we doing this on a Sunday morning? Like Pastor Kathy said, we wanted to, you know, this is the house that PT helped build, Pastor Tom. And, you know, there's being over, I think it was like over 450 individuals in attendance on Tuesday night, and close to 500 I watched online, and you know, from all over, all around the world. We just, the facility wasn't big enough, and so, but we wanted to give honor where honor is due. All throughout the Word of God, you see that God is huge on honor, and so, you know, we wanted to have honor Pastor Tom, you know, because you know, honestly, I tell you what, we wouldn't be sitting here. We would not be sitting here if you know, Pastor Tom, you know, along with, you know, Pastor Sam and Pastor Nancy and Pastor Ray and Miss Kathy, those three sets of couples, you know, said, you know what, we're gonna make a difference in the greater Halifax area. And, you know, so this morning, you know, I just want to encourage everybody. You know, last year we did a series, probably one of the most popular series that we did last year, the most memorable. How many remember Gladiators, right? And remember that series? And so that was really one of the biggest popular ones that we did last year. So, you know, it being that this morning, you know, honoring, you know, Pastor Tom. So we're going to, I'm actually going to do an actual another, you know, we did, I think it was six or eight, the longest series that we did all year. Eight parts of it. This morning, you know, we're going to do another part of that, you know, and it's more or less, you know, a Gladiators, the Legacy edition. And, you know, if you remember specifically, you know, what that series was about. It was about, you know, Hebrews chapter 11 and how the Bible talks about the hero's hall of faith. And in that hall of faith, there's individuals that were named that there was a reason why they were named for their faith, no matter where they were in their spectrum, where they were, you know, in life. And there were some individuals that really shocked me and that they were in there. You know, Rahab the harlot, Samson, you know, and there was individuals that were, you know, like you would think, yeah, they're supposed to be in there. But, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about that. And then also in chapter 12, that's where our text came from. Just if you weren't a part of that, because this is going to dovetail into what we're going to talk about this morning. And that Hebrews chapter 12, there is no chapter breaks. You know, back in the old day, you know, in the scrolls and everything else. So it was one continuous thought pattern. And in Hebrews chapter 12, you know, it specifically says, verse 1, we're going to read it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin which easily entangled us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And we talked about, what if these individuals, what if these heroes in the hall of faith gave us some tips, some advice, something that they learned, right? And if they learned, what would it say to us today? You know, these heroes of faith are a part of what we just read, the grandstand, the greater cloud of witnesses, the grandstand of heaven that's cheering us on. Now, Pastor Tom is a part of that grandstand. Amen. He's a part of that grandstand, and now he's cheering us on. He's a part of that greater cloud of witnesses. And on Tuesday night, when those 11 people received Jesus, he knew about it, because the Bible says that when one person comes to know Jesus, that all of heaven rejoices. Amen. They take a praise break, and they rejoice for the souls that were saved, or that soul that is saved. So Pastor Tom knew about that. And so this morning, like I said, we're just going to talk about, you know, just more of a legacy edition about Pastor Tom and things that Pastor Tom taught us. And I'm going to go over as much time as I have left, you know, some things that just will stand out. How many of you, like, he was my pastor, okay? And he was my pastor. I did not know, when I first attended Family Worship Center as a teenager, it was with my father, stepmother number three, I think it was, and I was with my girlfriend, right? And so we were there on Sunday morning, and I, you know, all that being said, it was like, you know, like I saw Pastor Tom and everything else, and it wasn't until maybe months and months and months later where I started talking to Pastor Kathy at the time. You know, just being friends, and she wasn't allowed to date till she's 16. Hear that, Jules? Amen. So, but, you know, when she was 16 years old, you know, but wasn't allowed to date until then. But, you know, Kathy caught my attention after, you know, I was broken with my girlfriend, and I didn't even know. I remember specifically having a conversation with her, you know, trying like, hey, how you doing? Like, you know, just to be all cool in the youth group and everything, how you doing? And then she's like, hi, and short of it is, I said, hey, you know, just trying to make small talk after youth group. Do your parents come here? You know, and then she's like, what? And like, do your parents attend Family Worship Center? Do they come to this church? And she's looking at me, she goes, yes, you know, and it's not how she taught, but I heard it in my head like that, you know, and then she's like, yes. And then I was like, oh, well, do I know them? And it's like, you see them every Sunday. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, she's like, and she ended up telling me, it's like, oh, well, you, I call him daddy, you call him pastor. I'm like, wait, your dad's pastor, Tom? And then she's like, yes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and that's how I found out, like, I didn't even know. And so how many of you were a part of the congregation when he was the pastor? Anybody? Look at hands all over the place. You know, there's a lot of hands up, you know? And so these things that we're going to go over, you know, things that Pastor Thomas taught us, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And so so the first one, Pastor Tom, and you knew Pastor Tom. Pastor Tom was a person, and this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing because I think that we need to have more of this in our lives. He was a person of repetition, because it was like it consistently, you know, just go over and over and over and over and over. You know, the sayings, I could say them. You know, you look like a cow, and you look at me like a cow to Newgate. You know, remember, you know, like, what does that mean? You know, and it's like, and you start thinking about it, like a cow that doesn't recognize the gate, like, you know, and or a frog in a hailstorm, right? You know, like, you know, and so, what are these things? You know, so these things you're like, oh yeah. And I have to take a look, give credit where credit's due. You know, as Pastor Kathy said, thousands of individuals from all over the world responded to all family members about Pastor Tom going home. And so these things were talked about online, and it's kind of like, you know, so a few of these, they were stolen. That I was like, oh, yes, I remember that. And then it kind of got me in this thought pattern. And so one of the ones is that the things that Pastor Tom taught us is, you know, make the Word of God the final authority in our lives. How many remember him saying that and just saying that, you know, according to John 17:17, right? Your word is truth, so make them holy by the truth. You know, the word of God is the true, is God's word. John 1:14, it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? The word of God needs to be the final authority in our lives. Why is that so? You know, because the Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus, or God, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when we make the Word of God the final authority in our lives, it doesn't change. Amen. Our feelings change. Our moods change. You know, we change our phones. I mean, you know, like when the new one comes out, we change. You know, you know what? One thing that, you know, will never let you down is the Word of God. And it stood the test of time. And you know what? When Pastor Tommy say that, you know, it's like no matter what, you make the Word of God the final authority in your life, because it will never, ever, ever, ever steer you wrong. So when you go to the Word of God about something, you're bound to be successful. Amen. Another thing that said, one thing Pastor Tom taught us was follow after peace. Ooh, I live by this. You know, it was, he just consistently, I encourage you, I would write, if I was you, I would rewrite some of this stuff down, because these are incredible nuggets that we need to make a part of our lives that, actually, a lot of us have made it a part of our everyday life. But following after peace is very, very important. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 through 14, specifically says, so made strong even in your weakness by lifting up your tired hands in prayer and worship, and strengthen your weak knees, for as you keep walking forward on God's path, all stumbling your ways, it will be divinely healed. And in every relationship, be swift to choose peace over what? Over what? Peace over competition. I'm telling you what, the world will tell you, will lie to you, will deceive you, will eat you up, spit you out. But I tell you what, the Word of God will not do that. And also, when you follow after peace, you are doing what we said the first one, making the Word of God the final authority in your life. How do I follow after peace? You gotta understand. Understand, when you follow after peace, you got a couple different ways to go. I'm not sure which way to go. I'm not sure which business deal to make. I'm not sure which, but the Bible says follow after peace. Which one do you have more peace about? Start walking that out, and then all of a sudden you feel, oh, I don't feel peace about that. Back up and go the other way. And then all of a sudden you're like, I feel so much peace. Praise the Lord. And you know what? The peace of God just steered you away from a headache or a challenge or a trial that you did not necessarily have to go through. Amen. And then I've often say there's three options. Because sometimes I'm going to go this way. Oh, no, I don't feel peace about that. Oh, I think I feel a bit of peace about this one. Oh, I'm going to go that way. All of a sudden, no, I don't feel a peace about that. What do I do? It's usually a third option. And it's waiting on God until that time. And not doing what we want to do, but what God wants to do. Follow after peace. Another thing is pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit at all times. And on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Praying in the Spirit, in our heavenly language, it charges our spirit, man, like a battery. The only difference is our battery, like a battery in a car, every few years it needs to be switched out and changed. But may I tell you what? The more we pray in the Spirit, the larger our capacity, the larger that, we begin to be, overly sensitive to the Spirit of God. Amen. Stronger we'll become. Praying in the Spirit. Which leads us to the next one. You have the, hear him saying it, you have anointing. You have anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. According to 1 John 2, verse 27. And he said, you're talking about past, you're talking about a man. But you notice that there's scripture that backs every single thing that he used to teach. Yeah. Every single thing he used to talk about. You are anointed. You have the anointing of God. And you know all things. My favorite scripture is John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth and show you things to come. Amen. He's not going to show you the lotto numbers. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that God is interested in every decision that you make in your life. Every decision, no matter how big or how small, God is interested in all. Because you know why? You're important to him. So you're important to him. Therefore, what you're interested in, what you're desiring, what you're praying for, the direction for your life, direction for things. I'll tell you what God's interested in. We just need to make him more a part of it. Praying in the Spirit. You have the anointing from the Holy One. You have to know who you are in Christ. He was big on that. Yeah. Understanding who you are in Christ. Another one was, make much of the blood, and the blood will make much of you. How many remember that one, right? He said, oh, make much of the blood, and the blood will make much of you. You know why I remember that? Because I was, for a long time, the music minister, and we used to, Pastor Nancy would remember, that he would say, we cannot have a service at Family Worship Center that a blood song wasn't sung. And so I used to have to do my worship lineups around a blood song. You know, and so it's like, that's limited, you know. And I tell you what, I'm so grateful that we did that. Because I understand. I think that we need to do more of that.
Yes, amen.
I really honestly do. I mean, some of the staff was challenging, we need to partake of communion more. I'm like, you know what, I think you're right. Even though we have it available, but you know what, as corporately, you know, and so, making much of the blood, and the blood will make much of you. You know, there's power in that blood. Like I said earlier, there's salvation in that blood. There's healing. There's forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. And there's so much more. Make much of the blood, and the blood will make much of you. Very simple, yet profound. God specifically, I remember him saying, God told him that. And at this time, because I don't want to keep you any longer, the music minister, make your way up. The last one, the heartbeat of God is souls and more souls. This used to be dropped, like you see this right here, how this is a drop ceiling. It used to come all the way across. And across all of that, used to have a sign. Actually, it was in the video picture, and it was a white sign with bright red letters and big block letters, souls and more souls. Souls and more souls. You know, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said, I'm going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. John chapter, ultimately, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The heartbeat of God was souls and more souls. He gave Jesus for the world. Souls. You know, from 1984 to 2009, our focus, the church, was impact countries with the gospel. You heard Miss Alice say, he used to say it all the time, that we were going to send out and support missionaries on every continent and every major city, every country around the world. In 2019 to 2017, the focus of the church was to impact our community with the gospel. Both of those are souls and more souls related. Pastor Kathy and I's heart is to have a balance of the both. Family Worship Center, Port Orange, to impact countries, continents, our community, and our country. See, we learned from our past leaders. And we're like, we see that. We see that we're right there in the middle. Souls and more souls. Pastor Tom has his address may have changed. But he will always remain in our hearts. And the word of God that he took the time, and he just consistently, faithfully, I will always remember. Miss Alice mentioned about going to Holly Hill. There was a little time frame, I'm not sure how long it was, but there was a time frame where you know, the church met in Holly Hill off of 6th Street, left Port Orange. Pastor Tom says those were the dark years. And he said, we miss God, bless God. And I'm like, no, you couldn't have missed God, because that's when I started going. We used to joke around. He was like, you know, he used to do with his eyebrows, well, you know, and because that's when I started attending Family Worship Center as a teenager. so grateful for the legacy that Pastor Kathy and I, we get to walk out. The foundation that was poured, that we have the honor to build upon. The things that he taught us, the foundational truths of the Word of God and how to be led by the Spirit of God. Not for ourselves, but for others. And I'm so excited about where the church is. The church is so vibrant. We are becoming more than ever before that I've seen in recent years, more selfless than selfish. You guys are seeing the bigger picture. You guys are seeing that it's not about, I'm not just being consumer-minded, coming in, it's about me. But what can I do? Where can God use me this morning to make a difference in somebody's life? We wouldn't be able to walk out if the man of God didn't start the work. And so please understand, I know that, you know, it's because of Jesus. This is all about because of Jesus. Pastor Tom did what he did because of Jesus. And we do what we do because of Jesus. He's that awesome. Jesus is that good. And I repeat myself because I try to be a lot like him in certain with that aspect of it. You know, that God sees the best in us even when we might be in the middle of our worst. That you were created on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. Those things that he was repetitive about are stuck with me today. And our prayers is the things that we're repetitive about sticks with you. And those moments throughout the week where you're like, I need God. Know what to do, what to pray, and what to say. Because God created you, and he created you